everybody. It's been a while. It has truly been a while, and I just want to make sure that you all know that I missed you. I'm doing all right over here. Had a lot going on in my life and needed some time to kind of pull it together, decompress, and, you know, self-determination, trying to figure out what I'm going to be doing and where I'm going to be doing it. So the title of today's show is He That Beats the Drum for the Madman's Dance is No Better Than the Madman Himself. And, you know, I posted it on my wall, and I said, please join us today at 5 for a not-so-family-friendly podcast, right? Feel free to call in to express your thoughts and opinions about movement atheism. Now, I said that, but we're not going to be taking any calls today because I want to make sure that we get through, you know, 5 different points, and it's not going to be a 2-hour show. We're trying to stop it at 45 minutes, but please forgive us for 5 or 10 minutes, right, that we may go over or under. And so I also wrote here, there are several reasons why we walked away from movement atheism in 2015, and we'll discuss a few of them. There are several reasons why we decided to not expose a few other people after they revealed their true motives. There are a plethora of reasons why we chose not to contact and had utter disdain for the majority of the large white atheist organizations, right? And so, you know, it's going to be hit and miss in what we talk about today, but, okay. I'm sure many of you have seen or have heard in one respect or another about what happened with Black non-believers and Miss Thomas, Miss Mandisa Thomas on the cruise, and there was a public fallout behind all of that. And, you know, a lot of conversation. She's resigned from, you know, a couple of different organizations being on their board. She has people distancing themselves from her, and rightfully so. However, I want to make sure that we do not take this moment away from the people that have been harmed. And while I've posted stuff and all of those things, I want to make sure that those people know that we are, you know, personally, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this happened to you. You deserve better. So much better. And I've been calling Mandy out on this for a long time. And Miss Mandisa Thomas and I used to be friendly because I don't ever believe she was my friend, but we were friendly. And there were numerous times where we clashed and had straight up fallout about some of the things that she did and she said. And one of the reasons why you would hear me and Raina confronting certain things is because we knew what was happening in the background. We were trying to protect innocent people because you have a lot of folks that are leaving religion, leaving in it a cult, if you will, and we were afraid they were going to come over here and end up in another cult because movement atheism in and of itself is a cult of personality. But we were trying our best to protect other people, and we may not have communicated that well. And for that, I apologize. You know, I don't even know what else to say. But the people that have been harmed, including myself, as well as Ms. Rhodes and a number of other people, I'm sorry that this happened. I definitely would tell you to reach out to people that you can trust, that will listen to you and validate you and not gaslight you. There was a young woman on Twitter, and she was scared. And so, you know, we dialogued a little bit, and, you know, I just left it on her plate. And she didn't call or anything, and I understand, but I sent her a note because I figured out who she was. And I'm going to say it again on this show. Mandy and I clashed violently about your situation, young woman, and about what happened to you. Ms. Thomas gaslighted the fuck out of you, always believed you. And I need for you to understand, I always believed you. I sent word back through other people. And I'm sorry that you and a number of other people felt as though you were alone out here and that nobody would believe you or that you were being mocked and ridiculed. That was not us. Raina, come on in. You know, that was not us.
Hello.
We believed you, and we believed you the first time. Go ahead, Raina.
We sure did. So a lot of the things that I was made aware of, I was made aware of in inboxes, similar to how Kim was made aware of it in inboxes, or, you know, things that would, or sometimes Kim would share things with me about, you know, encounters that she had with certain individuals. And Kim oftentimes wouldn't even name those individuals directly to me, although sometimes I could figure out who they were. Or maybe something would happen and that would be how the name would get revealed, right? But Kim, to her credit, never, like, straight up, like, you know, would tell people who these people were because she felt like those were their stories to tell. And it's the same thing with me. I feel like those people, those stories are those people's stories to tell. So I hope that based on what has happened in the last several months, that there are more people who are still comfortable coming forward, or, you know, even if they don't come forward, that they see what is happening and, you know, they feel vindicated, you know, maybe some relief, you know, maybe this will, you know, help the healing process when you, you know, move forward, you know, with therapy or whatever it is that you're doing for yourself. I hope that whoever has been hurt by this individual and by the organization or those who were complicit, because there are other people in the organization who've also done, you know, similarly egregious things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully, you know, you find healing, right? Whether you come forward or not. But know that there are those of us who are prepared to stand behind you should you come forward. So I just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the person that's at the center of the CCOM, I'm sorry that your whole experience was ruined by actions of, you know, a small subset of people.
Is it? I don't know if it's just me, Kim, or if it's you, but it sounds like you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, no.
It could be just me.
Not today. It could be you. You go ahead. I'll call in from the other line. Keep talking.
Oh, I don't have anything to say. Oh, my God. Okay. Are you on? No. Okay.
No,
just keep going. Just keep going. You sound fine now.
Okay. I sound fine. Okay. Very good.
Okay, woke up a little bit more.
All right, hold on. You just, you know, talk about, you know, again, just reach out to the people that have been harmed. You know, go talk to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope that, you know, that, you know, that to anyone who else is, you know, who's been harmed in this, you know, by the organization or by, you know, Mandisa or, you know, other folks, enablers, you know, and what have you, maybe people affiliated with the organization, what have you. I hope that, you know, that you find, you know, resources that can help you. I mean, there's online options like BetterHelp, you know, I know that, you know, there's a network Taraji P. Henson has an organization designed to help African Americans with mental health issues, for example. I hope that whatever's going on, that you're taking care of your mental health and your emotional health. And, there's, unfortunately, there's some people who, may not have been apt to believe you, but I hope that you know now that with what's going on, that there are people who are prepared to believe your story and to support you and to support you coming forward if that's what you want to do. So, yeah.
Right. Don't feel pressured. And not only that, don't let anyone pressure you into doing something that you're not ready to do.
Understand? These are your stories to tell, not ours, not anyone else's. So if you want to come forward, then that's a decision that should be made by you and you alone.
Right. And again, I also want to caution you that there are a few people who enabled Mandisa Thomas and her behavior. I don't think that those are safe people to talk to. That's just my personal opinion, but you do what you feel is best. However, I feel that you need to kind of distance yourself from them so that you can decompress and possibly try to look at this from a different perspective without having people in your ear telling you A, B, C, D, and E while also still continuing to try to cover her and to make excuses for her. And all of these things, because, you hear them over here saying that, they believe in restorative justice in regards to Ms. Thomas, but not restorative justice to the people that she's harmed and that have been generally drummed out of the community. So what does restorative justice look like when you're complicit with the behavior?
Right.
That's pretty much what we have to say about that. And, we're going to try to make it quickly through this because, it's Saturday. People got stuff to do, right? So, with the second part, we want to say, make sure everybody understands this. This is not personal. None of this is personal with calling out Mandisa and her behavior. But one thing I will say about Mandisa, and this is true, Mandisa is very clear and honest about who and what she is, unapologetically. How you all ignored that or disregarded that, or you'll say, well, we didn't see it. You didn't want to see it. And for it's interesting because, again, we got a cult of personality here. And the thing is that there were some of you out there that were angry with us because we would critique her. And some of you were, you thought that we were only critiquing her. We critiqued every damn body. There was a whole blog about Jamila, Jeremiah Kamara, Tariq Nasheed, all just different people, Dr. Sabi Reno, right? And some of you were trying your damnedest to get us to bow down, genuflect, and kiss her ass. I even had people threatening to come to my house and trying to put together a posse to come to my house. And they were trying to fly people in from different parts of the country to come to my house to confront me. Because of Mandisa Thomas. If that's not a cult, I don't know what it is. And, there were a few people that stood up for me, but one person contacted Mario Stanton directly and told him that he was not going to allow it to happen because, Mario, I was going to sue the damn dog snot out your ass if it did because it was organized in your group. And the young woman that made the threat, I don't know if you know this or not, but I could have filed a police complaint against you. I had screenshots of all the shit. Don't you ever do something like that again. You would have gotten all of you all hurt because I wouldn't have gone down that easy, and we would have been prepared and ready for you. Don't do that again. Don't do it again. But, yeah, this isn't personal. You know, we're just trying to take stock of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is a wake-up call. But we told you about this a long time ago. And this is a wake-up call, and we're going to go ahead and kind of morph that into the third part. And the third part is like this dossier, because it's kind of hard to talk about this second part without including the third part. But with this dossier, you know, these reports that have been written by different people, if you go to my page as well as the Black Free Thinkers page and the People of Color Beyond Faith page, you know, there's a Google Drive with documents that you can read through and see what's happening and all of that. And the thing is that in 2015, when we did that podcast, and like I said, I'm not sorry and I'm never going to apologize. Everything we said in that podcast was true, which kind of brings in the next point, which is number four. So we're talking about two, three, and four. It's kind of hard to talk about it without bringing all of these things in. And so basically, you go and take a look at those reports, it will definitely clue you in on, you know, a number of things that we talked about in the past. And, you know, again, you know, we did call out Sikivu and Donald in the blog. If you go to Roads to Reality, and which is just do a Google search, Roads, R-H-O-A-D-E-S, to Reality, there is a blog called mm-hmm. They Knew. And mm-hmm. Raina and I had the template or blueprint, if you will, for POCBF, People of Color Beyond Faith.
Right. It happened, and me and Kim were on the phone, as we often are.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an idea, and she riffed on it, and I riffed on what she said, and she riffed on what I said, and before long we had this idea that we thought was a really good idea to basically pursue our interest in social justice. And then we brought in Jen. Right.
Wait. You're skipping the whole part. Jen comes later. Talk about the conversation we had before we even broke down the bones of our, you know, of our project.
So before we even got to the formation of the organization, we had a conversation with Sikivu Hutchinson and Donald. What's his last name?
Right.
I can't think of his last name right now. Right.
Yeah. Right.
That is his last name. So so we had a conversation with Sikivu and Donald where Kim and I were very clear that we had no desire to work with Mandisa, and that specifically because we were working on social justice activism and she was working on atheist activism, that there was really no need for us to work directly with Mandisa. So this was something that we were all clear on at the very start, or at least we thought we were all clear on it. It seems that Kim and I were clear on it. Jen was clear on it, but Sikivu and Donald were, you know, maybe on some other stuff.
Hidden agenda.
Yeah.
You know, very much so a hidden agenda. And it
mm-hmm.
did not help that you had people like Steve Hill and Frank Anderson tagging, well, particularly Frank Anderson. Let me leave Steve Hill alone. Frank Anderson tagging Kivu and Donald, saying that BN and Mandy should be part of it, And for those of you that don't know, Frank lived in Chicago, and I would see him all the time and talk to him all the time. He called me on the phone, you know, often, several times a week. He knew that was my project, and he knew because I stated it, you know, unapologetically that I would never work with those people. But yet,
and not just that, but I mean, when Kim says it's her project, like, it really was in a lot of ways her project. She did most of the legwork. She, if there was a logo, if there was a T-shirt, if there was anything that required any sort of money, that was Kim. If there was any, most of the decision-making that happened in those early days was Kim. Kim was the one who put most of the legwork in. Like, I would say 98-99% of the legwork was Kim. The rest of it, you know, the ideas and stuff, you know, some of that was collaborative, although most of that was me and Kim.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. So, like, Kim worked with Jermaine and Christine and all of that, at, you know, for most of the things that you saw. That's the truth.
Right. And what was interesting
And although Sakivu made the connection between us and Jermaine, it was Kim that was doing the work with Jermaine. And paying him. And then Sakivu tried to make Kim pay for not only our shit, but Sakivu's shit, too.
Right. Exactly. She tried to bundle that shit.
She really tried to finesse. She tried to finesse the shit out of Kim back then. She really did.
Right. But, I mean, I guess you learn how to do that when you get your PhD in performative arts, right?
Listen.
You know, she
performative social justice.
Baby, performative blackness, right? And so, you know, the whole thing, you know, again, Sakivu coined the term people of color beyond faith. She also coined the term moving social justice. But, baby, me and Raina breathe life into those words.
Right.
And what you all don't seem to understand, and there's a whole email. I'm going to put some screenshots up this week in which, you know, after that podcast and Sakivu, basically, she resigned from the board of POCBF, but she wanted to stay on as the, you know, as the fiduciary agent, if you will. Because, mind you, this particular project was new, and she said, well, you know, we can do some of this under my 501c3 until we went out and got a 501c3 for people of color beyond faith. That was part of the plan. We wanted to do the first conference and take some of the proceeds and the money that came from it. And actually, we didn't really make any money from it. But, you know, I don't do any of this stuff necessarily to be profitable. And, like, I'm not motivated by money. Money does not matter to me. I'm not motivated by money, sex, or power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an internal passion, right? But, you know, basically that's what was going to happen. So, yeah, but Sakivu resigned from the board, and so she wanted to continue handling the money part, and so she was writing these other organizations for money. Now, let's go back to before the first conference. Sakivu was writing those letters about the money, and she was leaving me and Raina off the email trail, but yet she made sure that she CC'd Donald and Anthony Penn. And, you know, Anthony Penn, I don't believe he knew about any of this that was happening in the background. I have absolutely no shade to throw his way, even though they used him as a cudgel against me. And we'll talk about it because I sent Dr. Penn an email. And Donald and Sakivu both got mad because in that email I detailed everything. Because what they were trying to say to me was that Dr. Penn was not really wanting me to come to Rice because of that podcast. It was going to bring shame to Rice University. I know Dr. Penn didn't say that. That was some shit that Sativu and Donald made up as they tried to push me out of my own project to bring Mandy and Bria and BN into it. And had the nerve on one of these conference call meetings, had the nerve to say, well, it's going to be small and intimate and basically uninviting me to my conference, that they wanted me to continue to organize as their slave, but yet I couldn't come because they didn't want to make Mandy feel uncomfortable. And you know what? You know,
the same Mandisa comments that we would all be on the phone cackling about.
Yeah.
We would all be on the phone laughing about her shenanigans, talking about how she was, basically performing for the white folks, wobbling and, playing the token Negro for these white atheist groups and co-signing their foolishness. I wish I remembered some of the specific things that Sakiwi said, because some of those things were hilarious. It's funny to think about, because I am 1,000% sure that when Sakiwi jumped ship or was pushed, because, she really didn't have a choice, given the fact that she owned all the patents and shit, the trademarks, right?
Oh, don't forget
my
email. You
had no
email.
Choice. Huh?
Well, don't forget my email, in which basically I outlined that they could not use anything. I mean, there are dates and timestamps on that. And her and Donald tried to push forward.
But, you own the project.
Anyway.
That's the truth.
Exactly.
You own the project. So there was nothing she could really do with it. So, once she jumped ship or was pushed or what have you, whichever, language you want to use, I'm sure she was over there, cackling with, Mandisa and Bria about us. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it just goes to show you how some people are motivated in this community by genuine motives, right? As opposed to, wanting to sort of get on, right? Or get approval or get money, right? From certain types of organizations, right? To get asses and seats, right? Even when I think back to like the first conference that we had in LA, like just remembering how the Kivu just, completely disregarded the financial commitment that you made to the organization and to that first conference. Giving away merchandise that you personally paid for without a discussion, a check-in, without anything. She literally was making decisions, as though Kim and I and Jen and really even Donald, to a certain extent, didn't exist, right? But she knew Donald was just going to rubber stamp anything that she did. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like thinking back to that first conference, it was just the way that she treated you was just so disrespectful. And to see how she has moved after that has just been very disappointing to me personally, because I had a great deal of admiration for Dr. Hutchinson when all of this started. I had a lot of admiration. Actually, to tell you the truth, there were a lot of people in this community that I actually, had admired, at least initially. I was very hurt when Jamila went to CPAC. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was hurt by a lot of people who we're seeing some of the shenanigans that Mandisa was engaging in the atheist movement, co-signing folks like Dusty, co-signing that racist, billboard in Pennsylvania, cozying up to the likes of Dave Silverman, right? All of these types of things, right? And some of the things that she had said about, you know, about BLM and all different kinds of things, right? A lot of those things I found extremely problematic. And there were a lot of people in this community. Some of them, I think, were just trying to give her grace, at least initially. But there
right.
were some people, there were some people who went further than just trying to give grace. It was like,
right.
It was like, she is the face of movement atheism. We need to be behind her, period. There can
right.
be no dissent. There can be no questions being asked. There can be no criticism. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
that is when it started to feel like a cult.
Exactly.
I'm having conversations with people about me having to include BN in my organization.
Right.
And what I'm doing, which is separate from them, I'm being told that I am being divisive
right.
for not including them. Meanwhile, Mandy is in these streets putting people out of her group for disagreeing with her or possibly not wanting to screw her or whatever else.
Right.
And this is based on the document that her BN affiliates have come up with, okay?
Even though
so
we
this
knew
is not
about
coming from me.
Situations. Right.
Huh? Right, even though we were aware of some of this stuff before this.
Yeah.
Right.
But
I'm just pointing it out because it happens to be documented. So
exactly.
You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe a thing that I'm saying. I'm saying go to the document. Okay?
Right.
It says it right there. She was putting people out of groups. She was putting people out of online. She was putting people out of groups in real time because they had disagreements with her because they didn't want to screw her or they decided to end a relationship with her, period.
And she was slandering them and everybody else constantly.
Period.
And
period.
Then wanted to say that
and
we were slandering her on that podcast. In a podcast, I talked about two people that was on her board. She was interested in this guy. He wasn't interested in her. She was on the phone with me crying because this guy wasn't interested in her, and her husband was in the next room. And if you go and you look in that report, the person that was harmed basically stated that Mandisa had invited them to her house to have sex with her while her husband and children were home. And the thing is that Sakivu, that's just one example. Sakivu and Donald both acknowledged that they knew that every word I uttered on that 2015 podcast was true. Other people told them it was true. They
indeed. And we even talked about it at dinner after the first conference. Had a whole
right.
discussion.
Yep. You know, and, you know, in addition to all of that, they knew. And we had to write that piece because they knew. And the same thing, you know, with Debbie Goddard.
Look, Kim. Let's
mm-hmm.
just be real about it. I want to claim the piece. I'm not saying that you didn't have anything to do with it. I did have a conversation with you because I had a conversation with Jen too because it involved both of you. But that blog was getting written whether
exactly.
you and Jen co-signed it or not. Because
I felt like there
had been harm done to you.
Yeah.
And that there were a lot of people specifically who came at you, because they felt like you were, Miss Killjoy or something, because
right.
you weren't on the boat. You weren't jumping on the boat with them and you know, just celebrating everything that Mandisa did, you know, every
right.
time that she was, you know, that she was made visible in this movement
mm-hmm.
because
right.
you and I had concerns about some of that visibility and what some of that visibility supported and what some of that visibility meant and what was
right.
what might have come with some of that visibility because we were concerned with some of the messaging of some of the larger white atheist organizations and what they were trying to do. And in our opinion, they were trying to dissuade particularly groups of color from mm-hmm. engaging or from pushing the movement towards social justice,
right.
towards dealing with these larger issues that concern us as, you know, Black women. So
right.
So yeah, so it's Mandy resisted it too. But what I told him
social justice shit.
Right. And she resisted it for a very long time. But what I will say, and I told Kim this a long time ago, that I consider it a victory in some ways. The things mm-hmm. that I saw following what happened in 2015. Because after 2015, there were a lot of people in the movement, the atheist movement, including Mandisa herself, who were pushed to go in the direction that we
yep.
were talking about going. You know, Mandisa
yep.
and Sakivu were having these women of color conferences
in Chicago,
you know, talking about a lot of the things that we were talking about. I mean, basically stole the whole blueprint from People of Color Beyond Faith and bastardized it.
Right.
I mean, you know, they didn't come up with any of those ideas. Those were not original ideas.
Right.
And, you know, and even though Mandisa wasn't necessarily the best person to articulate a lot of those ideas and things like that, you know, to see her even having to make the attempt was actually
right.
just felt like a victory, you know, to me. You know, because
right.
that was what we were trying to push the entire community towards having
right.
at least a better understanding of how these secular issues intersect with social justice.
Right.
So go ahead, Kim. Sorry.
No, girl, you good. Because it's like, you know, the day when she called me, when she started writing the blog, they knew. She called me and we talked. And, you know, I got a little overwhelmed. And I had to get off the phone. And, you know, her and Jen, you know, finished it up. Raina polished it up and published it. Because it needed to be said. And the main reason why we felt that it needed to be said is because we didn't want Sakivu and Donald to slink off into the background and act like they don't know anything about this, like they did the first time. You know, the lies that I took the project from them. No, it was my project.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And the thing is that, you know, the people that were upset with us about the 2015, in that same podcast, we asked about, you know, financial transparency. BN
well, not just financial transparency, period. But,
right, yeah,
but certainly,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I mean, it's wild because that's one of the problems that the BN affiliates basically, you know, realized in their, you know, investigation, right, was
mm-hmm.
that there were, you know, that Mandisa, according to their own documents, was basically hoarding money.
Exactly.
Hoarding
exactly.
money and spending
and-
money that was meant to be, you know, shared with, I guess, people were thinking of as chapters but were actually affiliates. And designated
right.
so for the legal reason of not having
right.
to share money with them.
Exactly,
but
and that's the thing.
I remember I did a blog, and the blog mm-hmm. was called "How to Win Friends and Influence People in the Mainstream Secular Community as a Person of Color," and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people took that to be a direct attack on Mandy. It actually wasn't just on her. It was It was actually about a number of people in the community from my perspective.
Right.
But certainly it had to do with Mandisa.
Right.
And there were people who came at me in that really weird, creepy, cultish way who were upset with me because I had targeted their queen or their god or whatever, you know?
Right.
But it was very weird. I had a lot of conversations with people about that.
Yeah. Lord James said the
and
one
and
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say Lori James said that Sakizu, David Silverman, and Mandisa were her gods. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the items in that list of things to do if you're trying to, you know, be a token Black atheist in the movement was I'll give you two of them. Number six is throw parties and rallies, and only parties and rallies. And number seven was to castigate religious organizations for their lack of transparency while making little to no efforts towards transparency yourself. And we see that's exactly what happened, right? And it was so really disheartening about that back then. And dealing with, you know, sort of the cult of personality that came up around Mandisa was, you know, this community likes to try to, you know, pride itself on, you know, all of our critical thinking, right? And, you know, all of the, you know, the fact that we're so smart because we, you know, came to the conclusion that, you know, there is no God or there's likely to be no God or whatever, right? We, you know, there are so many people in this community that are so quick to, like, shade religious people, you know, shit on the church, all that kind of stuff, right? But when we asked, when we were asking questions about where the science program was, you know what I mean? Where the recidivism program was, where, you know, where all of this money was being spent, you know what I mean? Where the money or the resources for Flint were going, you know, people were really attacking us like we were the problem.
Right.
But we weren't asking y'all for money. We
never
asked no one for money. We never asked anyone
ever
for money. And even when Kim and I were planning POCBS, one of the things that Kim and I were constantly trying to figure out were ways to address funding that would that wouldn't make us beholden to mainstream white atheist organizations
and their
politics.
Yeah,
you know,
and there was a plan that Sakivu and Donald both agreed to. We said we will take money from the white atheist orgs the first 3 years with less and less money by the third year, and on the fourth year, be totally independent because we did not want to take the white atheist organization's money with them trying to dictate to us what we should be saying and how they want us to say it and being their token Black friend. That's not me. I will never be.
It's not me either.
And exactly. And as far as these affiliates are concerned, you know, when we were talking about Mandisa, we were talking about annual reports and their in the prospectus for being, and none of you all questioned any of that until December of last year, when you found out that your designation as affiliate did not make her liable to share the funding that was received with you guys. She at first initially called you all chapters, and somebody must have clued her in, you know, on this, and she decided to start calling you. But what I will tell you is that Mandisa, from the very beginning, she said, I am BN. Anything through BN is mine and belongs to me. I knew she was never going to share the money with the chapters or the affiliates. That's why I was the first BN group that opened up outside of Mandisa. And I refused to allow her to oversee or manage or have any influence on my group because I knew who and what she was. And then Donald invited Mandisa to Houston, and Mandisa went to Houston to talk to his group. And in that talk, she talked about my group being an unauthorized group. No, my group was an authorized group. Mandisa used to be a guest or a host on this show. We talked about
it. I remember those days.
She lied.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Bria trying to say that I took all these things. Y'all, on the podcast, when Bria was on the show initially, Bria talked. She gave accolades to me talking about she was thankful that I pushed her to finish this project and we were partners and all of that shit. But she got amnesia. Mm-hmm. And I got to say something about that lawsuit. So, yes, I did sue Bria. And, again, my mother was dying and my second mom had just died. And I had a heart surgery. It was just so much going on in my life in 2017. And none of that mattered anymore. The lawsuit, none of that mattered because I knew that I was walking this last mile. My mom had stage 4 cancer. I knew what it was. And I dedicated all of my time to be with her, which is why I moved back to the same town she lived in. And I walked that last mile with that woman. And one of the things my mother asked me to do was to leave these people alone. And I did. And so when the judge dismissed the lawsuit, it was dismissed without prejudice. And what that means is that the judge found merit in the lawsuit and was giving me the opportunity to refile it because, see, me and my lawyer was not getting along either. As a matter of fact, I almost got him disbarred.
Right.
Because of the stress and the stupid shit that was happening, right? And it just turned into a big old clusterfuck. But, you know, I'm saying that to say this. The judge ordered me to pay for Bria's lawyer's appearance fee. Not their fees, their legal fees, but it's an appearance fee. So whenever you go before a judge, especially, in federal court, you have to file a motion of appearance. And with that file, with that motion that you filed, you have to pay a fee. And I think it was like $208. On my wall, I said $200, but, you know, please forgive me. I kept the $8 off. And the judge, you know, was like, just pay their appearance fee. Bria had to pay those lawyers. I didn't have to pay her lawyer a dime. And so that screenshot that's in that dossier, you know, they're talking about it's not worth pursuing. Why? Because they were going to have to file another $208 appearance fee, you know, just to try to get $208 from me. And that's not including their billable hours. And Bria.
Right.
Whether you're listening or someone is going to bring it to you, I had inquired with the lawyer and weighed my options as far as if I wanted to sue you or not. I was vacillating and sitting on the fence. You can thank Sakivu and Donald for your lawsuit because of the things they were doing in the background. So make sure you send them a card, a thank you card. You know, and also I just want to make sure, you know, for any of you all, and when I'm saying any of you all, I'm talking about Mandisa, Bruce, Akizu, Donald, you know, go ahead. Sue me. I'm okay with it, but I'm going to countersue you. And I'm going to pull all this stuff out. As a matter of fact, I'll be dropping some screenshots this week when Sakivu resigned from the board but said she would continue to collect the money. And then after I sent them that email basically telling them, you know, they can hit the road, she sent another email, you know, withdrawing, you know, being the fiduciary agent or whatever that is, right? And, you know, I don't know, ever. While we were having these conversations, Sakivu said that she was going to send the money back to the white organization, atheist organizations that gave her money for our conference. And she said she sent it back. But at the same time, she had been telling people that she was going to have the POC MSJ conference, you know, without me, Raina, and Jen, and they were moving forward. Even though I told them they couldn't use the information, they were going to go ahead and do it anyway. So, you know, I suspect that she didn't send the money back. She may have. I don't know. But when I had my lawyer send her a cease and desist and was asking questions, you know, she kind of skirted around it and didn't answer the question and made an accusation that, you know, that was unsubstantiated. I have absolutely no idea what you were talking about, Sakivu. I didn't do anything to Ms. Thomas. Period. And also, Greta Christina, you know, she's the one that called me the angry sock puppet, which I actually love that name. And Greta put a question on her wall: how can you blackmail or extort someone when they don't want anything to you? So, you know, someone was claiming that they were being blackmailed and extorted, but the person didn't want anything from them. Yeah, you can't blackmail or extort someone if you're not asking them for anything. What they were afraid of is that I was going to get out here and expose everything they did and what they were saying.
Right.
And we purposefully just dropped all that shit in 2015, you know, because it's like it really wasn't worth the effort. And that's one of the reasons why we had such disdain for these white atheist organizations, because many of you covered for Mandisa and encouraged her and supported the madness. I cannot align myself with anyone who knew what was happening with her and went along with it and penalized anybody because she was upset with them and badmouthed them. You should be fucking ashamed of yourself. And that's what this means. He that beats the drum for the madman's dance is no better than the madman himself. And movement atheism in and of itself is nothing but a cult of personality. That is what, that's the only thing that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the whole thing is just fucked up. And the main reason why I did not come out with a lot of this is because I felt you all needed to learn your lesson the hard way. Now this shit is public. You got people documenting it. They're putting it out here in the public sphere. And you're her main donors, and you all have been sending her money. As a matter of fact, you know, from what I've been told, you all gave her money specifically to build up her chapters or affiliates. And she didn't give them anything or very little. Let me go ahead and throw that in because she may have given somebody $10. You know, but the thing is that if you go.
Well, wait, Kim, you know, because we talked about this, right? You and I offline.
Right.
You know.
Right, right.
Just like with the science program, right? I mean.
Right.
You know, maybe in her defense, you know, because the document said that, you know, she was hoarding money and, you know, hitting the strip club. You know, we don't know what she was doing in Magic City. She, I mean, by virtue of her giving her the money to these sex workers, you know, she might have been, helping to educate some of them or their children by default, you know? So, I mean, you know, maybe she was studying the physics of making it rain, you know? Like, we don't know. I mean, you know, who knows? That Thomas et al., 2015, that paper might be, you know, might be held up, you know? You know, maybe it didn't get through review, you know.
Right, right.
But,
right.
You know, maybe we're just not seeing it properly, you know.
Yeah, you know, maybe we should be trying
to
do
that. It's all a matter of perspective, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe we should be viewing this through a black femme lens, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she wouldn't know anything about that either.
But Sakivu would.
She didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, you know, but for you white organizations out there, you know, we had to sit back and let you fall on your face and let you see the error of your ways, because I know, had I brought this to you guys, you would have treated me just like anyone else. You wouldn't have believed it. Or some of you knew what was going on with her, but you didn't give a damn. You just wanted to be able to, in your own way, hide behind her as a shield from accusations of racism. And not only was that, you know, Sakiva used to write these articles about you all being racist, but once you all started paying her, they started getting far and few between, right? And it's interesting when American Atheist was, you know, was looking for a president, and she was trying to pressure you all into making Mandy the president of American Atheist. Child, we sat over here and we cackled, because American Atheists would be broke right about now, or they would be embroiled in this sex scandal, if not a worse one. You know, and also, Mandisa was not qualified to be president of anybody's company, just her own.
Mm-mm.
She's qualified to be the president of BN, because she is BN. You know, but for you, white, we had to let this happen. Because you wouldn't have believed us in the few, the, you know, the few times that you've asked me to come out to help. Any money you all tried to give me, I made you give it to black radical organizations. When I said to Raina and Sativu that I did not want your money, that I see it as blood money, I meant that.
Yeah.
Period. You know,
period.
So girl,
I mean,
we got 2 minutes left.
I just want to say one other thing too, because, you know, because this whole thing with, like, you know, Mandisa and what have you. I mean, I know that there are some people who are still on the fence. There are some people who are still giving Mandisa the benefit of the doubt. But I just wanted to point out that, like, some of you probably were very upset about what happened with Patrice Cullors and BLM. And all of that. And, you know, some of you had more smoke for what Patrice Cullors did with BLM than some of you seem to have for Mandisa. The truth of the matter is that the nonprofit sector looks a lot more like what Patrice Cullors did than what Mandisa
right.
was doing. So I think you should keep that in mind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look into the finances of Salvation Army with all the homes and the luxury homes and cars, because it is very top heavy. And that is how a lot of these nonprofit organizations are set up. And so, you know, we just really want you to take a look at that and all of that. And so, you know, we're winding it down. And like I said, none of this shit is personal. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't even care anymore, really. But what I do want to say something to Debbie Goddard, and that is I'm really disappointed, Debbie. And that's all I have to say to you, is that I'm disappointed. You talked to a number of people. They told you what I said was true. And they stood behind the podcast. And you still tried to create a false narrative about Mandisa when you knew it was a lie.
Oh, and FYI, I named who I wanted to name in my blog. I intentionally didn't name some people, because I know that there are some people out there who they have more to lose. So
right.
I intentionally didn't
you know.
Name them. So I just wanted to let y'all know that. I'm sad that we didn't get to some of the aspects of the BNDC dossier, but maybe we can talk about that at another time.
Well, I mean, it's up to you. You want to do another 5 or 10 minutes, or you just want to, you know, we'll try
okay,
it again.
Okay, I thought
later.
That it was going to cut off on us.
No. I set it up for 2 hours because I know how I get the rattling, so I always set it
okay,
for 120 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, we can get into it then.
Okay. So you go ahead. You
okay,
leave that, and
so
I'll
before,
just
before
in.
We before we get to before we get to the parts that concern you and I specifically, can we talk about how this almost turned into a true crime thing?
Baby, girl, right,
baby.
You know,
ooh.
Child, I was reading that shit. But let me tell you, like I said, for, a couple of people, their damn blogs and books sound eerily like transcripts to my show. And, you know, and what's going on with BN and looking at those statements. Now, if you're going to steal some information and steal book ideas, write a book about this shit and sell that to Lifetime because they will buy that shit. Go ahead, Randall.
I'm telling you, Lifetime will definitely buy this one. I think that'll probably be a Vivica Fox production.
Right, 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 right. Okay? Who wins?
So,
I mean, just the audacity. You invite a man to your personal home that you share with your husband and children. They were home.
Well, that's
and
another
you over
thing
there
that I was thinking about, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you and I, we've talked about, we bumped heads before about polyamory and stuff. And you know that I identify as someone who's ethically polyamorous. But poly flexible, right? So
right.
In any case,
but I've gotten better. I got better at.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm as bad.
You have, and your views have evolved as well.
Right
on some things. So it was wild because, I mean, so there are different arrangements in polyamory. But what I was reading did not strike me as ethical polyamory to me. For one,
now when you're trying to fuck your side piece in the same house where your husband is residing, go ahead.
Well, I mean, that could be their arrangement. I don't know. I don't know Craig, and I really don't know Mandisa personally, so I can't really say a whole lot about what arrangements they may or may not have, but I know that that is a that is not a common.
Well, I mean, you never know. He may be into that, so I'll revamp my statement. I'm not sure if Craig is down with that. He may be. However, that would not happen in my house because I will burn it down with you in it.
It does, but it also does feel a little disrespectful to your family, and to especially if this is not a person who's going to be involved with your family. Like I said, polyamory looks like a lot of things to different people. You know what I mean? And sometimes, your other partners do get incorporated as members of the family. That can happen. You know what I mean? But whether that was the case in this particular case, I don't know. And it doesn't seem like the gentleman who was giving this testimony was exactly comfortable with it. But where it became almost a true crime thing for me, girl, was when he was talking about her talking to him about her husband's potential demise.
Somebody needs to do a welfare check on Craig Thomas.
Listen, somebody let Craig know that he might want to rethink his beneficiary on his life insurance. You might want to rethink, bruh. I'm just saying, There's a lot of people dying household accidents all the time. And, sometimes an accident is an accident, but sometimes an accident is something else. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm making a joke of it. But, I mean, at the same time, the truth is, if this is the kind of conversation she was having with someone, and this is someone telling us about it, right, someone who was involved with her telling us about it, you don't know who else she's had these conversations with. And in this day and age, where we know that a lot of people are not right mentally,
I
mean? That is dangerous. I mean, because sometimes we have conversations with people and we're just thinking out loud, right? Oh, I hate them so much. I just wish he would die. You know what I mean? or whatever, right? And we may not mean that, right? But the one thing the church people get right is words are powerful. That's the one thing the church people get right. Because you say that around the wrong person. And you might just end up getting your wish.
Exactly.
There's been plenty of situations, and Lifetime's got movies about them.
Where people have said similar things
about it, like that, and they've happened, and they've come true, and then you're burying someone that you didn't intend to bury.
Let me clarify something. I want to clarify something. This is not something that me and Raina made up, or you know, this was in that document. As a matter of fact, it's on page 8. If you go to document 8, you'll see it, and we're just repeating, and I took a screenshot of it and posted it on my wall. This is what this person that was harmed put out there, and it's wrong on so many levels. If she's willing, girl, anyways, but I wanted to make sure so, you know, they try to turn around and have their lawyers write me a letter and shit. Motherfucker, I didn't make that up. I didn't say this. I'm just repeating it. Take that up with the people that wrote that report and wrote those, you know, statements, because, it's not going to happen.
And in the same document, they talk about, you know, her using BN as her personal piggy bank to fund her cruises and her trips to the strip club, likely Gadget City.
Gifts.
You know. I wonder what kind of chicken wings she gets when she gets to Magic City. You think she gets lemon pepper?
Probably salt.
She looks like a lemon pepper kind of girl.
I said salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar. Okay. Anyway, girl. Anywho. And it says also expensive gifts for her suitors and victims, as well as her complete lack of self-awareness. So, yeah, and then they also say here that she slanders anyone who disagrees with her, and she uses her friends to bully others on her behalf. Huh. That sounds familiar, Kim. Do you know anyone who was bullied? Who might have had threats of violence?
Right.
Said with respect to that person? That sounds real familiar.
Right, and that makes me wonder if she told that individual that threatened to come to my house and put together the posse, I wonder if Mandisa breathe life into any of that. It's a question.
I don't know.
Because the person the person that said it, that was out of the blue. I couldn't understand it. I'm like, you don't know me and I don't know you. And so you want to come to my house? You know, and I just find it interesting that they're a woman of color beyond belief is in Chicago, but mind you, they only started the conference after I left Chicago. What did you think I was going to do? Come up there with my Segway and have an entire damn karaoke machine and protest your asses? I don't give a damn. You've been out here doing this shit for 10 years plus, and you still need less than 24 cupcakes. And also with that secular social justice thing, the one in Houston at Rice University that was going to be small and intimate. Well, Donna, you got what you wanted. What y'all get, about 30 people there? And the one in D.C. sold out, all the tickets sold, but it was 95% white people. Nice minstrel show. Anyway, go ahead, Raina, because, you know, I'll be on this shit all over again.
Yeah, but that one was... I mean, you know, I love true crime, so that part piqued my little interest, because I was like, oh, my gosh, this could have gone left very easily, you know?
Right, right.
So, yeah, somebody do a wellness check on Craig. But there were, like, a few things in this little, in this BNDC report that I just wanted to clarify, right? Because I think that there were some inaccuracies here. So let's see if I can pull that up really quickly. I don't know why. I had it up already, and now it wants to act up. So here we go. So just in case, you know, Roe is listening or anyone, you know, connected to Roe, this is not an attack on Roe. It's not an attack on,
right.
You know, anyone. This is just to clarify things from my point of view and from Kim's point of view, right? So Roe talks about how he and I have been friends over the years, and we were once more on friendlier terms. And I agree with that. It's been more distant because of his involvement with BN. I think, though, that I, unlike some other people, I felt that Roe was, he wasn't as, I felt, as involved in that cult of personality as some other people were.
Very good.
In my opinion.
I agree.
There were some people who were, you know, that seemed like they were deeper in the cult, right? And several of them, like I said, had reached out to me, you know, saying that I, you know, as though I, well, some of them said straight up that they felt like I only ever had criticisms for Mandy. And if you read my blog, like, most of it is criticizing other people, not Mandisa. Like, there's maybe two times that Mandisa is either referenced directly or indirectly, maybe three.
Right.
But mostly it's about other things. It's mostly about, like, the general movement. And not just that, but, like, I talk about Umar Johnson. I talk about Dr. Sabi. I talk about Tariq Nasheed. I talk about Jeremiah Kamar. Maybe people felt that I was talking about Mandisa indirectly because of her support of Jeremiah Kamara. Maybe they felt some type of way because of that. I don't know. But, you know, Mandisa was one of his main supporters, and so maybe, you know, by extension, they felt that I was criticizing her there as well. And, I mean, in some ways, yeah, maybe I was. I mean, because Jeremiah was on some bullshit then, and he's on some bullshit now. But, you know, it is what it is. They were talking about me holding the similar views to Kim. And let me see if I can find the exact same thing. So it says here that me and Ms. Thomas have been on bad terms due to my indirect loyalty to Kimberly Veal. Me and Mandy being on bad terms started way before me and Kim were friends. It really started in like the 2009s, 2010s, when you know, Black atheists were sort of coming online and finding one another.
Exactly.
I was in a number of the same groups that Mandisa was in, including the Black Nonbelievers group on Facebook. I was eventually put out of that group by Mandisa. I had issues with a number of things that were going on in the group, including homophobia, a lot of homophobia, which was coming from a contingent of Tofu Dashikius. She was affiliated with a gentleman named Blackson Bao early on. You know, a lot of people don't know this. Like, see, this is part of the thing that a lot of people don't know is, like, Kim and I have been in the movement basically since the Black Atheist movement really started, or, you know, at least this modern, you know, take or whatever. So we saw a lot of the things that were happening before, you know what I mean? You know, these organizations became incorporated, or before they became 501c3s, you know, before all of that. So, you know, I had a lot of criticisms for some of the things that were being said in groups. I found them to be egregious. Some of them were very misogynistic. We didn't have the term misogynoir at that time, but there were a lot of comments that were typical of misogynoir. And I had a lot of problems with it. And I bumped heads with a lot of people, including Mandisa herself. Mandisa typically stood with the other side, citing, you know, free speech and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times the people that I was arguing with were men. And Mandisa has, and I think anyone will tell you this, anyone who knows Mandisa, has spent any time around Mandisa, will tell you that she favors men, period.
Male-centered.
It's known. She's very male-centered. It's been known for a very long time. And so she and I bumped heads quite a bit on a lot of subjects. That was where my relationship with Mandisa soured. So it soured very early on. Him and I became friends as a result of me calling into the Black Freethinker show. I was not a fan of when Mandisa, or Bria for that matter, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a fan of either of them as co-hosts.
Right.
I really think that the show got substantially better when Kim was hosting by herself. Kim was very good about doing research. She was very thorough. She tried to incorporate a number of different ideas and things. I teased Kim quite a bit in those days about her style of taking comments from the audience. Many times there were comments from the audience that were colorful, shall we say, some that were a bit ignorant, some that were way in left field.
Right.
And Kim had this very funny way of saying, interesting. And that was her response. And normally it was not followed with anything else. So it was pretty clear that whenever Kim would say interesting that way, that she was trying to dead that subject. She had nothing for it. She had nothing to say. Like, okay, that was really weird. Or that was really bizarre. Or, you know what? I don't even really feel like touching that with a 10-foot pole today.
Right.
What was that? You know what I mean?
And it would be funny because I would take what they said and change it into what I think should be said, and then they would agree with what I said.
Yeah, sometimes you would do that. You wouldn't always do that. Sometimes
yeah.
you would kind of just say interesting and move on. It just depended.
Yeah.
But it made me laugh. It was pretty funny. So I started calling in the program, and at some point Kim decided we were going to be friends. She decided, and Kim will tell you this, she decided we were going to be friends, and then we sort of became friends. I don't know exactly when it happened, you know, but we would talk, and we would, you know, and over time we shared, and, you know, we became really good friends. But a lot
Even
of the
though,
things.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, honey.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
No. You go.
No, I was just going to tease and say, even though she tried to ditch me a couple of times and gift me to her mama, you know.
Look, can we not go talk about that? Because, you know, that's why that happens, and not everyone is entitled to my story or whatever was going on in the background. You know what was going on. There was something deeper going on at that time. I'm an introverted person to begin with, so it's difficult for a lot of people to get in. I have a very
right.
small circle, so
right.
and I'm cool with it.
But
so
you know, I'm so, teasing. You understand what I say in love? You know that was no shade. You know that, right, Ray?
Absolutely. Oh no, I know there was no shade involved in it. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
There.
Oh yeah.
That time was a difficult time for me for a lot of different reasons. And there were
right.
reasons
no
behind it.
No explanation needed. Yeah, no
and there's
explanation
no explanation
needed,
that's going to be given.
right.
Exactly. You know.
Just know this. Just know this. All Raina has to say is Kim did here, and I will be on the next thing smoking, or I will be gassing up my car. You know.
And I appreciate that.
You know,
I really do. And I appreciate
so,
that. I really, really do. Because, you know, Kim has been a very good friend to me. But a lot of the things that Kim, you know, had, Kim was pretty good friends with Mandisa when I came into the picture. They were still pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah.
There were, yeah, I mean, you guys hadn't fallen out yet. Not when you and I started to become friends.
Yeah, no, we fell out in D.C., when she did what she
right.
did, and I'm not going to rehash
right.
that, you know, but.
Right. But I'm just saying, when you and I became friends, we didn't become friends over Mandisa or anything.
That's not
how we became friends. My opinions of Mandisa were sort of, I wouldn't say they were fully cemented, but I already had some feelings regarding her based on behaviors
right.
that I had personally witnessed, right?
Right.
And there were
right.
other things that were brought to my attention by other people. Some of these people, they're no longer in the movement. I don't even know if they're even online, okay? But then later, Kim fell out with Mandisa. Now, by virtue of some of the things that Kim shared with me about their friendship, because, you know, we were friends and she was dealing with that fallout at that time, there were things that Kim shared with me, right? And there were some concerning things that she shared with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have never recounted any of the things that Kim has shared with me personally, or the things that other people have shared with me personally. I have made reference to rape apology.
Right.
I've made reference to, to anti-feminism. I've made references to other things, right? But
right.
I've never specifically given details of anyone's story to anyone. Because
right.
I feel genuinely that is not my place.
Right.
If anyone
exactly.
wants to share that information, if anyone wants to share that information themselves, that is up to them. Now, I still have the concern because I have the knowledge. So I'm going to share the concern. And you can do with it what you will. And a lot of you disregarded it. And I feel, and I personally feel, and, you know, you can speak for yourself, I feel that most of you disregarded the concerns brought not only by me but others, and some of the other concerns you may have encountered over the years, because I'm sure that you encountered other concerns over the years, because Mandisa has fell out with many, many people
right.
over the years. There were many people set out of those being groups. Many people. For minor infractions, okay?
Right.
I mean, even in these documents, somebody got thrown out of the BNDC group, or not BNDC group, but BN group, sorry, the BN group, because they disagreed with Mandisa regarding the Chris Rock, Will Smith slap, right? They disagreed
mm-hmm.
with her opinion on that particular subject, and they were thrown out of a BA
right.
online. That's weird.
You know what I'm saying? It's very weird.
Yeah, insane, but that falls in line, especially with women, the way Mandisa deals with women. If she thinks that the woman is smarter than her, prettier than her, more attractive in whatever kind of way, she finds a way to take issue with that person and what that person wrote in their statement about how she gets other people to go after them. I know that to be a fact because she tried to use me to do that to go after other people. So she does that. I can corroborate a lot of what that person wrote. And the thing is, you know, like I said, I hope that Mandisa figures out who she is and get some therapy, get some help, something like that. And when I say that, you know, I am not saying that, you know, her situation is necessarily functional, but what I'm saying is I think she's searching, she's hurting, she's trying to find something. But this ain't the way to do it, honey.
Right.
This is not the way to do that, Mandisa.
Yeah. So I say all of that to address the very first paragraph of Section 5, Incident Number 5 in the BNDC document, because it says, since that time, Ms. Rose has publicly held Mrs. Thomas in contempt over a dispute stemming from a former secular partnership between Mrs. Thomas and Kimberly Veal, then founder of the Black Freethinkers of Detroit. So there's two things wrong with that. The first thing I just previously addressed, I had, I held Mandisa in contempt for my own reasons, most of which are you can find on my blog, right? Specifically. Again, I was aware of some of the other things that Ms. Kimberly brought to my attention, and there were other things that were brought to my attention by other people, right? But I had contempt. Most of the contempt that you heard me utter had to do specifically with her being a token for white atheist organizations over the years, and I stand by that. Period. Even in the 2015 podcast that we did, I uttered my disagreement with Mandisa probably no less than twice.
Right.
And even when Kim was talking about the beef that she had with Mandisa, you can hear me audibly in the background gasping. Okay. Gasping. Okay. I was gagged. Okay. I was gasping. Okay. Because even though Kim had shared some of those things with me, I actually did not anticipate that she was going to share any of that on that podcast. And I certainly wasn't thinking that she was going to share any of that on the podcast in the manner in which she did. But some of the stuff she said on that podcast, like the train conductor thing, I actually had never heard her say that before.
we talked
about that after the podcast.
Right, but see, that's the thing. That title, the train conductor, that came from some of the white atheists in a community that were against what Mandisa was doing. They were, you know, they were ashamed, and they were too afraid to speak out and say something about it because they didn't want her slandering them and calling them racist and all these things. But this is what, you know, it's a whole lot of conversations I hear about Mandisa, even Bria, and a number of other people that they're not privy to, but that the rest of us see. And so that's where that came from. If I'm going to be honest, the truth of the matter is I still haven't shared everything with Raina and Jen. Every once in a while, something will come up, and I'll say ABC, and they were like, what? And I'm like, I never told you about that. And they were like, no, I haven't told.
I know that you haven't. And you know what? I'm okay with that. But, you know, like I said, I'm okay with you sharing whatever you feel like you want to share. But the point,
right.
The main point that I wanted to bring up with this is that my beef with Mandisa was my beef with Mandisa. It had absolutely nothing to do with Kim's.
Right.
And that's the truth of the matter. I always, now, when it comes to their beef and the way that it came to a head in 2015, I always supported my friend, right? And I'm always going to support my friend. And in large part because even in these documents, you can see how Mandisa moves. They're the person,
right.
the person who she was romantically involved with, according to him, had opportunities that were ruined by Mandisa
mm-hmm.
when he decided to no longer engage in a romantic or physical relationship with her. There were similar things going on in the background with Kim.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that were going on, with things that were being said about my friends that I felt were slanderous, that were, some of them were just, they just were uncalled for, you know?
Right.
For a long time, Kim tried to stay above board.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point where Kim broke.
Right.
And I was there when it happened, you know?
Right.
So when Kim did the show, you know, Kim and I had conversations back then. There were things that Kim said in that show that I didn't feel were necessarily okay, but I understood why it was said and why she felt the need to say it. When you are in a situation where, you know, you're fighting with someone and they hit below the belt, you're going to want to hit them below the belt too, you know?
Right.
And I always told people that I disagreed with some of the things that she said, especially as a feminist, right? Because there was something that she said that was slut-shaming, right? But
right.
the truth is like when you're in an argument with someone, you don't care that something is slut-shaming. You don't care.
Right.
Now, you know, I mean, that's not to say that it's right. It's just to say that that's what happened. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm a feminist. But if you catch me on the wrong day and you do something to me that offends me in a deep way, you might be all types. You might be, to borrow a line from Donald Wright, you might be half a dozen bitches.
Or a spank hoe bitch.
Okay. Or a spank hoe bitch. And that comes directly from a cover. That's an inside joke that I just made y'all. I just brought y'all inside of, okay, because... because that was a conversation that we had on the phone with Kim and Donald, not with Kim, Donald, and Kivu, myself, and Jen. And, yeah, that was following that podcast. But that was funny as hell when he said half a dozen bitches. Anyway.
Yeah, man. I'm going to get a T-shirt with that shit on it. Half a dozen bitches. You know, but just saying all that to say this is that you all don't know everything that's happening. And unfortunately, from what I'm seeing, a lot of you guys are personalizing this, and you shouldn't. And what I find interesting about the fact that you're personalizing it is when you all get mad at religious people when they defend their pastor and their Bible, and you say, this is with the pastor, and they tell you they're offended when you talk about their religion, you were doing the same thing. We say something.
Right.
About
I mean, I have so offended. Many inboxes from people who are basically on that same bullshit, that touch not mine anointed.
Exactly.
It's just the secular
exactly.
version.
Exactly.
It's just very weird and cult-like and creepy and is
yeah.
what it gives. And it's just really upsetting, right? So then it says, to this day, Ms. Rose, so this is the fourth paragraph, And this one I actually found funny. So it says, to this day, Ms. Rose, a close colleague of the plaintiff, Ms. Veal, has remained aligned with Ms. Veal's opinion of Black nonbelievers and Ms. Thomas. And the funny part is yes, I'm aligned with her opinion, but so was Sakivu, and so was Donald.
Right.
We had a whole Kiki session on the phone with them, talking about Mandy wobbling for the white atheist movement and putting on a minstrel show for them. Like, we had entire, and it's funny to me, and it's still funny to me now, actually, but for a different reason, because I'm fairly certain that Sakivu is a fake person, fake enough to have gone from laughing with us about Mandisa's shenanigans to then turning around and laughing at me and Kim with Leah and Mandy. So it's just really funny to me because, you know, and again, you don't have to take it. You don't have to just take my word. You don't have to take just Kim's word. I mean, Jen was there. I mean, Sakivu and Donald were there. Now, they may not tell you the truth about it.
Right.
But, you know, the truth is the truth. We were on the phone laughing and kikiing about a lot of Mandisa's shenanigans and the behavior
and
that she displayed for white atheists.
Yeah. And some of them were in inboxes as well as an email. I remember on one email, especially when we were passing around Jeremiah's DVD for his movie, and the snark that came from Sakivu and Donald, and that is written. We have the written correspondence for it, you know. But I want to say, you know, in regards, I'm trying to remember the point I was going to make about Sakivu. Oh, so yeah, Sakivu made a couple of disparaging comments about me, and let me give it some context. All right, so in 2014, for her first in a family scholarship thing, I flew out my own money, stayed in a hotel, you know, and a couple of times I stayed at her house, you know, so I may have stayed at her house then. I don't really remember. I would have to go through my journal, right?
One of those times was when we were in L.A. for the conference.
Yeah, we were in a hotel for that, but let me go back.
But before that, you could come out. Before the conference, you could come out, though. Remember?
Right, I had come out a couple of times. Yeah, and the thing
is... Yeah, but you were there
that,
a couple of days before the conference, remember?
Yes, I stayed at her house, and then I ended up going to the hotel and waiting, and we stayed together. But what I was going to say is, before I went out there, you know, so for those of you that don't know, I have lupus. And, you know, I was getting my meds adjusted, it was just a lot going on with me. So, about a week or two before I flew to L.A., I had to have a lymph node removed from my body because they thought it was cancerous. So we had a cancer scare, and that was a couple of weeks before. And 2 weeks before we removed that lymph node, I was in the emergency room, and I stayed overnight in the hospital because I thought I was having a heart attack. Because my heart was beating too fast, and Raina and Sakivu both got mad because they didn't know nothing about it until I sent them a note saying they released me from the hospital today. But the thing is that because of everything that was going on with me, and again, just despair for a number of different reasons, sometimes, you can be sick or have some issues, and you know, I'm going to let it go. I have to let that go. But Sakivu was never a friend of mine, and those of you that think she's your friend, you probably need to do some soul searching on that. And then I also want to address Sincere. I was on the phone when you called Raina. And you were too scared to ask her to come back to work on POC and MSJ with Donald and Sakivu. And what they were trying to do is railroad me.
and sincere sorry. I had to have my lawyer write you an AHA, a cease and desist, but that was the only way I was going to shut that shit down. You know, and, you know, you've made some comments, you said some things, and there's a lot I can say about you. But I'm still going to give you a little bit of grace and mercy, but what I will tell you is that we do know your real name. Move on.
Well, that's another thing to bring up, Kim, because this was something else that, you know, that we were knowledgeable about at the time. There was a member of the board named Morgan Dexter.
And right. Fake name.
A pseudonym that is taken from Dexter Morgan, the serial killer the serial killer from the books and the theories about Dexter Morgan. You know, it was that type of stuff, you know, having these anonymous folks, you know, these folks that, you know, we don't have, you know, we don't know who they are clearly and stuff like that. That was one of the reasons why you didn't want to join the board. Remember?
Right.
You know, those situations provide opportunities for legal liability.
Exactly.
You know? So, I mean, it was some of those poor decision-making things that came up early on in the, you know, when she was setting up her bylaws. Like, some of you guys don't know, like, Kim and I were there. We were around.
Right.
In the, you know what I mean? When this was being formed.
Yeah,
right?
Well, her and Ben,
so
we went to a church.
We saw some of the early missteps. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Kim tried, you know, for her part to, you know, to dissuade Mandy from certain actions and things like that. And some of those things might have been listened to, others maybe not. You know what I mean? But there were a number of missteps that that made it untenable for Kim and myself to want to work with someone like Mandisha.
Right.
Because, you know, putting working with her in under those circumstances would make us liable for certain things. And we weren't going to do that. And when you see people making poor decisions like that, it sticks with you. It sticks
yep.
with you. And I mean, and I'm glad it stuck with us because now we see where we are, you know, misappropriation of funds, hoarding money, fraud, you know, going to Magic City instead of giving the children science books, you know, recidivism programs that, you know, that never appear, you know, they appear and then disappear. I mean, I was just looking at a screenshot today because Kim and I have a number of receipts between us.
Right, right.
I have a screenshot of someone in Mandisha's circle bragging about all of the programs and things that are planned for the year 2015. We're in 2023. None of that shit has manifested. There's not
right.
a picture. There's not a prospectus. There's not a budget. You know what I mean?
Right.
A report anywhere that you can find that shows that any money whatsoever was put towards any of these programs, going all the way back to 2015.
Right. Right, not one. Not one.
Not
and,
one.
You know, and the whole thing, like I said, you know, we let it play itself out. We watched. It took a while for this to happen, but we knew that you all wouldn't believe us. So we just sat back and watched it, and this happened, and we had no input in any of this. She did this to herself, and then I'm going to say one more thing to Ms. Crutchfield. You know, outside of, you know, she can thank Hero and Donald for the lawsuit. The statute of limitations has passed, but your lawyer made two major mistakes
in which you could have sued them and then got back all of your attorney fees. I'm not going to tell you what they did. Why? Because I don't want to.
Well,
so that's
I think
that.
That just about covers what I wanted to cover from out of those documents. So if there's anything
yeah.
you would like to discuss, then I'm open to discussing that for the next 2 minutes. But, yeah, that's mainly what I wanted to cover.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I'm going to start writing that damn story and change the names and move on, you know, since they stole a lot of – because they stole a lot of our material and all of that, you know, and like I said, you know, look at some of these blogs, and it's like eerily the same as my show. As a matter of fact, that guy, Peter Mosley, he copied
mm-hmm.
my pod. He just transcribed the damn thing when I was talking about what was happening in Ferguson. And that's the reason why
mm-hmm.
I blocked him. I unblocked him, but he's not the only one. And I just find it
mm-hmm.
interesting. I used to get mad and offended, but I probably should be happy because in retrospect, we pushed this community. We basically kicked up enough dust to make them write statements about being not racist and supporting these people because they were afraid, you know. But then you have the white atheist feminist that did, you know, typical white woman shit. And was trying to take it over. They were also trying to take over the social justice. But once me and Raina broke off, well, you know, surprise, 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 ain't nobody got blogs to do. Or they're very boring blogs. Or they're scared because it was another lawsuit that was, you know, launched. And for those of you who were trying to call my lawsuit a slap suit, no, it wasn't. You know, when under my old Facebook profile, there is, you know, an inbox message between me and Bria in which we agreed that we were doing everything 50-50. So we were doing that together, but I was doing the majority of the work, and then Bria disappeared. She ghosted me, and I think she was ready for me or waiting for me to walk away, and it didn't happen. I worked too hard to put all that together for her to pull that kind of stunt. And I'm not sorry about that either. No one stole anything. But go ahead. If that's what you want to say, Bria, say it. Say it out in public.
And that's the same
so
narrative that the TV tried to use against you, too. You know?
We didn't steal anything. But, exactly. And that's why I say Donald invited Mandy down to Houston talking about the chapter. So Sativa and Donald were trying to build that particular narrative, which was a fucking false narrative. And the thing, you know, and it you know, that hurt me that the three of them, you know, did this shit. But I think Sativa, well, as a matter of fact, I know for a fact that I was not the first one to talk to Sativa about Mandisa and BN. It's gotten back to me. Several other people talked to her before I even came around. And so knowing that, I know she knows about what happened with me and Mandy as well as me and Bria, and I can't help but to believe that she deliberately targeted me, knowing that all she wanted was for me to create that platform so she can push me out and do whatever. Because, you know, the thing is that, because, you know, like I said, I'm still laughing at her response to my attorney, to the cease and desist. But, you know, between Sativa and Donald, they barely know how to turn a computer on and off, maybe put in a jump drive and take it out. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, say what you will, I don't care. Because if it was really their proof of concept, their project, why was it they did not duplicate it and get the same results that we did? It's because it was not theirs and they did not understand it.
They didn't. All right, Kim, let's finish out the show by coming up with some titles for some movies or some books. You know what I mean?
Well,
that would be really entertaining from this part. I was gonna say now, this one involves another individual, right? But I'm going to involve them in it, too, because there's some financial, you know, lack of financial transparency there, too. But I was going to say from Science Cubed to Asses Clapped.
Well, I mean, girl, you know, Science Cubed, you know, Asses Clapped, maybe they're trying to demonstrate methane.
You know, I don't know, girl. Maybe. You're right. I was also thinking about from, let's see, what's it? I just had it. It's Sex Party Strippers mm-hmm. and Scandal, the Mandisa Thomas story.
On that note, I'm going to tell you. Read Raina's article, They Knew. And, you know, if you want, let's just take 2 minutes to discuss that last paragraph where you were talking about a restart, a remix, starting over, starting now, moving forward, doing something positive, because that's something that we're getting ready to do. We're going to be rolling out a project either by the end of February or the beginning of March, but it will not be atheist-centered.
Or the end of March, maybe. Might be more tenable. We'll see.
Yeah,
sorry.
We'll work that out. Yeah, and so, yeah. You know, we pivoted from atheism to social justice on purpose because at that point in time, I felt that it was an exercise in futility trying to be an influence in the atheist community. You liked stealing our shit, but you didn't like us as people. So, you know, we stopped giving you material.
We were too inconvenient because we were criticizing the people that they were trying to prop up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we weren't saying that you couldn't prop those people up. We're just calling on those people to be better. And, I mean, they might have felt that we weren't doing it appropriately. But, I mean, you know, what we were supposed to do, bow and genuflect and say, please, pretty please? What the fuck?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And also there's a reason why you with people over and over at these conferences. And, again, sex cult. So there you go, my people.
But yeah, no, I definitely admit that last paragraph, though. I mean, you know, there's room to make this community better if people really desire to do so. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's opportunities to discuss what accountability looks like and what kind of world we really want to build, right?
Right.
There is so much, I think, of the atheist organizing for too long has been about scoring points against religious people. But
right.
whose lives are we improving by doing that? You know what I mean?
Right.
Know, it's been so much about, like, making space for ourselves to shit on people and to make ourselves, you know, to it's really been a white supremacist project. Let's just be real about it, right?
Exactly.
I want to be able to walk in a room and offend as many people as I want to offend. It's the Dave
exactly.
Chappelle, you know, Fox News, MAGA hat wearing, CPAC, you know, attending, sort of
yep.
firebrand atheism, Dave Silverman, you know, let me, you know, run around with my cock out kind of bullshit. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yep.
And that's basically been what it is. Let's shit on the black church. Let's shit on black people. Let's talk about how stupid black people are for following white Jesus. When
right.
you know as a black person, if you're a black person who has a black experience, because let's just be real about it, not every black person has a black experience.
Right.
Right? If you're a black person who has any experience in the black community, you know that black people aren't going home to worship a white Jesus in mass.
Right.
We haven't done that in ages.
Right.
Now there are some that still do, but for the most part, we don't. Part
right.
black people have moved on from that. Okay?
Yep.
So that's not the issue. Right?
Right.
The issue is you asking black people to turn away from this white supremacist religion that you're saying that they're following and that isn't making their lives any better. and you're asking
right.
them to follow this white secular religion that isn't making their lives any better. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, not
like
only
it really
white
isn't.
Secular, it's not only white secularism, it's white nationalism, and it's also white supremacy.
Right.
Because all of that
well,
is incorporated.
And so is the white, and so is the Christianity, you know what I mean? But
exactly.
At least over there,
right.
In the Christianity sector, whether it's a white supremacist Christian space or not, you can
right.
you can find services. You
right.
can find maybe not all the time, but maybe you can get a blanket, maybe you can get a hot
right.
meal.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
What
maybe
is the atheist community offering? When black men are killed in the street by white cops, what does the atheist community have to say about it?
Right. Right. Not a goddamn thing, because it ain't got shit to do with them having fun, them partying, and all of that stuff. And like I said, it's not everybody. And I also want to make sure that I also say, when I talk about these large white atheist organizations, I'm not pointing a finger at all of them. Now, I got some people in these tags, but just because I have the name of your org in this tag, that does not mean I'm talking about you. I tagged you so that you can listen, because I don't know if you all have read what's in that Google Drive. But I sure as hell tweeted it, so go on Twitter. You can go to People of Color Beyond Faith, Black Free Thinkers Facebook page. Go to my Facebook page. It's out there. And what I will say is, the whole time I've been doing any type of work within this community, I've been transparent. But one thing I will make clear now, as I did then, my life is not up for public consumption. And I don't owe you that. And I am not going to trauma bond with you. I don't have the time or the patience for that. See, what y'all don't realize, y'all want to point at me like I'm like this monster. You know, and it's funny, because Raina and I talked about this earlier. Raina is worse than me, but Raina has tact. I don't have tact anymore. I don't have time to have tact. I'm just going to stop you in your boots and keep it moving. Fuck it. You know? Well, it's true. So anyway,
did I say anything? I laughed. I didn't say there were no lies detected. There was no lies told. I'm just
exactly
no lies
so
were told.
So yeah, child. Anyway, we're down to our last 1 minute, but I would like you all to reach out to Raina and congratulate her. Dr. Rhodes, she finished.
Thank you.
She did it. I cried like a proud mama. You know what I'm saying?
Aww.
You know that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you. And I want to thank Jen, too, because Jen's been our rock as well.
Thanks,
you know?
Jen.
And,
we love
yeah,
you.
Thank you, honey. We love you, baby. We really do. So, some people will take issue with this show, fine. If you want to inbox me, fine, whatever. But I want to say one more thing to Bria. All of that could have been avoided had you just reached out and called me.
10 seconds.
And yeah. the reason why I'm saying that is because I never wanted it to be that way. So, anyway, thanks for calling, Black Free Thinkers, listening in. This is Black Free Thinkers. We are here to challenge you to think and live for yourself. Yes, we are Black Free Thinkers, but
live
we
for
are
yourself.
Not
Don't
Kanye.
Live for Mandy.
Right. You know, Kanye and Candace can have Mandy. She's more their speed any damn way. Anyway, y'all. Take it easy, y'all. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.